UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Now for the V-Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Wrapping up some delicious Milantoni's pasta. It is Milantoni's Monday here at the ESPN 680 studios. I want to give a shout out to Yaya and the Milantoni Familia with a G, even though there's no G in the copy. That's my bad. I typed that up. Shameful stuff there. Anyway, Milantoni's, they have a $5.99 lunch special until 2 p.m. each day with things like manicotti and baked ziti. Holiday catering still available. Yaya offering discounts of $250 and more on orders of $250 or more. Usher in the new year with some great Italian food. End the decade with some great Italian food. Usher in the new decade with some great Italian food. She brought a spinach cannelloni today that is absolutely to die for. Everybody was swarming around it like piranhas on a bleeding cow. I'm not sure that's a great visual, but anyway, everyone was back there. And the sauce itself, it comes in this delicious Alfredo sauce. Dawn was saying that she was just going to dump it on herself and drink it after we were done eating all the pasta. And Crean seconded that. That was a good idea. So great stuff there. Spinach cannelloni here at the ESPN Louisville Studios. So check out Milantoni's. 1600 South Hurstbourne Parkway, right off the 64 exit 15B. Also a brand new location at 1008 Commerce Boulevard in Bardstown. Tell them ESPN sent you for free garlic cheesy bread. Thank you, Yaya and the Milantoni's Familia with a G. Pops, you finish up?
I did. Thanks. You send me for food. That's the way it goes. You know, I mean, pick it up. Happy to do it because the people of spinach cannelloni immensely popular here. But
oh my God, isn't
we're
it?
Already usually getting on about 12:06. So today, even later. I apologize for that, but glad to be with you. Happy to be simulcast for our first hour on 93.9 The Ville. Also, which for that reason, a lot of things to talk about. So many things I want to talk about. I want to talk about the NFL. I want to talk about the playoffs. I want to talk about all sorts of other things. But because the first hour, we're on 93.9 The Ville, we'll spend most of that first hour focusing on just Louisville's side of the basketball equation and the other topics we can get to in more detail from 1 till 3. And that includes, frankly, the Kentucky side of things, which I'll try to do a little bit more in more detail, again, in the later part of the program. But for the first hour, it's being simulcast. I mean, with some talk about the football game, but, of course, that's coming up in a few hours, and you'll get into more detail with that with Mark Ennis. Mark Ennis, if you're more scoring at home, will open the Coors Light pregame show here at 1 o'clock Eastern in just about 45 minutes from right now. And then the Music City Bowl pregame starts at 3, the kickoff's at 4, and he'll be back with the postgame with you at about 7 o'clock. That will be simulcast on 93.9 The Ville and 680 as well. For until then, on this side, on 680-1057, we'll be doing the rest of our regular show from 1 till 3. The Take, Andy Sweeney comes along. He'll do his regular portion of the program as well from 3 to 6. And then they'll join the Music City Bowl in process, so it'll be in progress. So it'll be simulcast. That's starting at 6 on both AM, FM, and 93.9 The Ville. So there you go. So that's our programming, so you can plan ahead for your day here. Our last show of the year, of the millennium, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. So there you go. There's some debate about that. Is this the best show of the millennium, or year one is the new millennium, or I mean the new decade, not new millennium.
I was gonna say, it's like,
well, you know what I mean.
Whoa.
I was still in the millennium mindset. But, you know, is year, because year one is year one. You know, you don't have year zero, but you're also right. 1 year old. Depends on if you're counting years or counting birthdays. So
yeah, I was kind of forget that too. Like, am I really? I think it's like I'm actually in my 31st year. Because I'm 30.
Yeah,
I think it's something like that.
We don't need to get into that here on the hour simulcast. Let's get into the game. Let's get into the stuff that people want to get into. From a Louisville point of view, again, this is not ignoring the Kentucky part. We'll get into that a little bit later on, and when we do our local 2 hours here on 680-1057. You want to put a, it's not putting a bow tie on a pig. Here's the reality of the thing. Maxey played just about as well as he could play. He was spectacular again. And just as a quick comment about that, when he plays that way, they have a chance to beat anybody in the country. I saw them, the only two games I've had Kentucky this year, the Champions Classic in New York, and he was great there, and they won there. And of course, this game that in they took Louisville and won it in overtime, and he was spectacular on Saturday as well. So he was great. Jordan could probably not have been much worse, to be quite honest. And yet, they still wound up going to overtime. So if you're Louisville, you can be encouraged by that. You can be encouraged by the fact that they didn't get anything really out of Jordan. Their free throw shooting was ridiculously subpar. And yet the game went into overtime, and they certainly had a chance to win it. That's the good news. The bad news is the things that they had some problems with are things that they have shown a propensity at times to have problems with. It wasn't the free throw shooting is not. So that's when you say, well, that is just, you know, bizarre, unusual, considering how well they've shot it all year. But some of the other stuff, like they almost, I said this on the radio too. I said, watch out for the tip in or at the buzzer, because when there have been key possessions this year, Louisville's had some problems getting a block out. Their rebound numbers on the whole are very good, but their rebound numbers, like key possessions, sometimes they don't come up with a big rebound, and they were very lucky that wasn't tipped in to lose the game in regulation. They do not have an abundance of guys. And in fact, they have very few guys who can beat you off the dribble. So when the team defends as they were defended yesterday, which was Saturday, which is really, really extend, really, really get out on people, not allow the three-point shooters to get themselves free. Basically, it's like anything else. In football, you put eight guys in the box, you're susceptible to pass. You drop all guys back, you're susceptible to the run. There's, you know, in baseball, you put three guys on the right side of the infield. If you can find a guy who can hit to left field, you're susceptible. That anything time you emphasize one part, it's the nature of any game. You're going to open up something else. So what you would be susceptible to is the ability to put the ball on the floor and go by guys and create shots for yourself, or start what I call start the merry-go-round, which is where you get in the lane and then somebody comes to help you, and then they got to start the rotation, and your job is to find the open man in the course of all that rotation and get yourself an easy shot. They don't have a lot of guys who can do that. Darius can do it. We saw Fresh do it a little bit more than we've seen him. It's not really, he's a situational guy. He can do that in the right situation, which is good, but he's not a guy that can take on all comers and blow by guys. Darius can. They don't really have anybody else who can do it. So what that means is you've got to do two things, I think. You've got to be able to run sets where you get guys in that position where they have some time and space to be able to go off the dribble and then start that merry-go-round and beat somebody. Or you've got to do, and I think this is much more of a pressing thing, you've got to play without the basketball better. And that is the single thing of all the problems Jordan had. That's the one that just really stood out to me. I watched a couple of possessions. One in particular, he goes and sets a screen. And very often, by the way, when you're the screener, you're the guy who ultimately gets free if you do your job. So he set the screen. Guy came off. He wasn't open. Jordan wasn't open. And he just stops. And he just drifts. And he just stands there. And that's it. It's like, all right, I made my cut. Didn't get it. That's it. That's not how it works. This, the way you were played Saturday is the way you're going to be played the rest of the year. And, you know, again, tipping my hat to Maxey. Maxey was a little whirling dervish out there. He was coming off, he'd go off a baseline screen, he'd go cross screen, he'd pop back, he'd flash, he'd flare, he'd curl. He was doing all sorts of things, and that's part of the, what they do. It's kind of the things they did a couple of years ago when they had Knox as the year progressed. In order to get him the ball, they ran him off an obstacle course on the baseline. It's what Cal ultimately will like to do with guys that he's trying to get the ball in their hands. Well, Maxey was that guy, and he did a really good job with it. Well, certainly, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that Jordan's got to be a guy that has the ball in his hands and does a lot of things. And if they are going to extend like that and you're going to allow yourself to be guarded, if you could put it in one sentence, it would be this. You must make yourself more difficult to guard. You've got to be harder to guard. And in his mind, I think he thinks he's hard to guard when he gets the ball. That's fine. But that's only half the game. In fact, it's less than half the game. You play, no matter how talented you are, a lot more without the ball than you do with the ball. So you've got to do something to make yourself difficult to guard without the ball. And also, for that matter, you are setting yourself up to get the ball to where you can make your move with the basketball in a better spot on the floor. His approach seems to be, I can just step back further and further, and I'm just, and you know, I understand that's the way of the game in the, with a handful of people in the NBA now, but you know, that's not all you can do. If that's the only thing you're trying to do, anytime you become one-dimensional, you're easier to guard. And, you know, if you saw Maxey, he made, for a team that's not a good three-point shooting team, they did a good job of picking the threes they took, and he shot the ball well from the three. But what else did he do? He took it in the lane. He made a pull-up jumper. He went all the way to the basket. He did different things to make himself more difficult to guard. Pretty sophisticated stuff, actually, for a freshman. That Jordan, at this stage in his career, has got to know that. He's got to do more things to get free. And the way they play their offense, there's a lot of freedom to do that. He's got to do more things to get himself free without the basketball. And if he doesn't, the teams are going to play them just like they did yesterday. Now, the argument, and it's a legitimate one, can be, okay, well, fine. If they're going to play him that way, there should have been shots for Ryan and for other guys. And there were, and those guys couldn't make anything. The one guy who really embraced it, because the guy I've got the button to be the head of his fan club, is Sutton. Sutton, again, they extended everywhere late, so what'd you see him do? You saw him come to the middle of the floor, come to the foul line, get the ball, make quick decisions, quick, catch, read, go, bam. That's how you attack it if they're going to extend the defense like they did. He was getting to the line, he was getting to the basket, he was scoring, but that's still not, okay, well, that's great. You can do that, or you know, you can do what they did also, which is if they're going to extend on everybody, that puts the center or whoever your postman is on an island, and then he can do some things and score. And Enoch did that. They threw it in there. He showed a real good sophistication. He was waving guys through. He knew when it was time to play isolation. And if you get it to him early in the shot clock, then he's got all that time to back in, back in, back in, back in, back in. Boop, jump hook. That's a good weapon. So they got that too. But you need those things in addition to Jordan being hard to guard. It's not like, oh, okay, well, they're taking Jordan out of the game. We'll go to all these other things. That's not at all what you're looking at is a way for this team to fulfill their potential. It's got to be all the components. It's got to be all the components. The U of L fans seemingly, and I just want to address this because there's a whole bunch of texts coming in. I guess this was the spillover from Locke Show. I guess they're quoting because I was at the presser when Cal said when. Chris said it when he said Cal doesn't run a lot of stuff. And I was like, he doesn't run a lot of stuff. He didn't take a shot. And what he's doing is he's explaining that they run actions. That's exactly, I don't want to play it again. They heard it. People heard it. Because when you play, even though you're denying it by playing it, you're going to feel like you're flaming it. I don't need to.
I want to play it because those people, no, because calm down. Because those people are like, they need to hear the whole clip. Because immediately after he says that, he actually is praising the team.
Okay.
And he breaks down a million.
All right, well, that's fine. Play what he said, and then I'll make the point I was going to make. Go ahead.
I want to say this in a respectful way. They don't run a whole lot. You know, they just put our what they perceive our weaker defenders in runner action. And they just have their two big guys setting pin downs, and they just try to run off those screens and gain an angle or gain an advantage. I thought they shot the ball better today, obviously, than they have all year, but I thought you know, some of their looks were created because of their quickness and their ability to use those screens effectively. You know, I give them credit, the cross screen for Nick Richards in the overtime hurt. And, you know, that was a little counter they run to that baseline runner that we had defended pretty well up until that point, the two or three other times they ran it, but got our wires crossed or didn't recognize it quick enough, and he put the ball in the basket. So,
I mean, he's not – that's not even remote. I'm sorry if you so desperately want fuel for ugliness or fodder or insults. That's not even remotely insulting. What he's doing is explaining some of it is a byproduct of the fact that Cal coached in the NBA. Because that's what you got 24 seconds in the NBA. What do you run the Hank Iba, you know, a shuffle cut offense? You don't have time. You run actions. They're little one cut, two cut things. And then, as he said, you run counters off them. After you've run the same action a handful of times, you just put a little wrinkle in a little counter and you get something out of it. So it's not a knock. It's what they do. And what he does a good job of is running those because, again, so much of the NBA thing, you try and find matchups that you can exploit. So they were trying to find matchups they could take advantage of. And the play he's talking about is, after I just got through telling you Maxie ran off obstacle courses on the baseline, which is what they do, they run him, like I said, off all those baseline screens. Well, this next time, instead of going off the baseline screen, he stopped, set a screen, cross screen for Richards. Richards came across and was wide open and got an easy lay-in. That's coaching. I don't know. I mean, I'm not making the guy make it sound like it's Einsteinian, but it's not like he's not coaching. This is the strat. This is the way with which they design their game plan. So it was, he not only wasn't insulting him, he's actually explaining to you, giving you a good thoughtful answer about what they do. Meaning it wasn't like, oh my God, they came down and called their two play and their three play. And people say, how the hell can you not know that was what that is, that stage of the game? Well, they don't have a two play and a three play. They have action. They have, and the players, and he does a good job of running them for the guys where they should get the ball and then can utilize their skills to their maximum ability. That's a very pro kind of mindset. And it also serves the purpose when you don't have repeat players, you're not going to teach a very intricate offense because you don't have guys back returning. They're just learning simpler actions. So that's what it was. That's the explanation. So for those of you who want to make more of that, you can, but I'm respectfully telling you you're wrong. That's not what he said. He was giving them credit for correctly taking advantage of some matchups, running the stuff that the actions they run, not set plays, and then putting guys in position to succeed when they got the basketball. And Louisville defended them fairly well for a lot of the game, but that's the way they put pressure on you. They make a little counter, a little adjustment to it, a little wrinkle, and you know, you if you don't react to it, then they get an easy one, as they did late. So, I mean, that's coaching. Chris has different – he has actions, too. That play where they throw it along the baseline to the cutter there. They have the play where they dribble it and throw it backward to, you know, a quick hitter that they throw back to McMahon for a three-point shot. You know, they got the lob one time for the alley-oop. They have actions as well. Theirs is more of a motion kind of thing. But they're both allowing their players to make read and react. They're just doing it in different ways. So that's not a knock. And then, and at the stretch, they did a good job of running that one little action where they ran the cross screen and got Richards the ball. Having said that, the fact of the matter is, even though they're doing it two different ways, they are both asking their players to make good read and react to what the teams are get, what kind of defensive looks they're giving them. And frankly, that's where Jordan has got to get better. I mean, I don't know what else to say. He's rebounding. He's trying harder defensively. He's not a great defender, but he's a lot better than he was. He's not selfish. He'll pass the ball. He can certainly score when the ball's in his hands. But they're going to do to him what they did Saturday, and that is to the whole team, because this is not a team that's filled with guys. That's why Chris got away from the ball screen stuff, because the whole reason to run a ball screen is to get a guy off the dribble. As he comes off the screen, then he's a guy who's really good at creating and getting in the lane. They don't have guys who do that. So he's running a motion where everybody should be passing and screening, back screen, cut, fade, flare, curl. Very difficult to scout because it's not a set play. It's not, all right, here's play one, here's play two, so I throw it here, this guy goes here, and the defense can play the play. You're reacting to what they show you. And the thing that comes out of that is that you've got to, though, be difficult to guard. And that's the one thing that, again, I keep coming back to. I was very disappointed that Jordan allowed himself to be guarded that easily. He was not, and I watched a couple of times when I noticed he hadn't got very many shots, and I was watching, I said, without the ball, he's doing nothing. He's not doing anything to help, get himself in a position where he can help his team. And that's, and you know, so you contrast it with the actions, quote unquote, that UK was running, and Maxey was doing a good job being hard to guard. And so there you go. Let's talk about another thing that everybody wants to talk about. All the hype for the recruiting class and guys not being able to contribute and things. There's yes and no to that. Yes, in the sense that I don't want to be the I told you so, but I kind of have to here. I said in the preseason, don't get your panties in a bunch about what these guys are going to do because you don't know. Until they get on the floor, you don't know. To me, I can't say I'm shocked, not because I didn't think they were good players or because they aren't going to be good players, but because you don't know. That's why we let the cake bake. So now, having said that, does that mean it's a bad recruiting class? No, I don't think so. I think he's got some guys that are going to be good players. I think they're going to be very good players. Does it mean they're not going to contribute this year? I wouldn't go that far either. I think as the year goes on, they might very well contribute. But if you are Chris Mack, and if I'm Chris Mack, and I'm trying to figure out the best way that I can win this game, I can't argue with the substitutions. I'm sorry. No matter how much you may love David Johnson, I think he's got a chance to be a very, very good player. Samuel Williamson, I think, has a chance to be a very good player. I don't look at it and say, boy, oh boy, the game was begging for those guys to come in and play. He gave Sam a chance. Sam looked overwhelmed. The guards, actually, the best guard combination, was Darius and Fresh. When those two guys were together, they were very good. That was a really nice combination. Fresh really stepped up. I got guys text us last week, we're counting on Fresh. We're in deep trouble again. 8 games into it against 4 Power 5 teams, you're ready to write the script. They suck. They all suck. Everybody sucks. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. That's the whole point. And so what I'm saying is, as I'm watching the movie unfurl and watching the decisions that Chris Mack has to make, given the plot that's unfolding in front of him, he's playing the guys that are giving his team the best chance to win. Now, did they play well? Malik didn't play especially well. Ryan had a really rough go. Jordan was invisible for much of the game. And collectively, their free throw shooting was just atrocious. And yet they still went to overtime at Rupp in a game where they were about as fired up. That place is always loud for Kentucky, for Louisville. That's about as loud as I ever heard. I literally went after the game and I realized how loud it was. I took my headset off and went to interview Coach Mack for the post game. And the first 3 sentences I said to Kenny, I couldn't hear what he said back because my ears were absolutely blown out by the volume.
I was listening to your...
Oh, my God, was it loud.
You and Paul's call of the game, and it sounded like you were calling in an airstrike during the Vietnam War for most of the...
It was loud. They were fired up. Crowd was fired up. Players were fired
after
up.
After the game, your voice sounded like raspy. Like, I felt like... Were you shouting the whole game?
Well, pretty close.
It sounded like it. So it sounded like it was crazy loud there.
But so to that point, you know, it was... All right, well, okay, there you go. Losing this game in this way by this team is not encouraging in any way. Your emotion, you're allowed to have any emotion you want. You can be afraid, you can be happy, you can be sad, you can be anything you want. But I thought it was very, very close, and it was overtime game, and you know, it was a game that is indicative of the quality of the two teams. They're both very good teams. You're not going to, you know, I love when people want to compare teams, like when everybody played their absolute best. Well, that's really a good way to do it. It doesn't work that way. If you could get a team that for 40 minutes, for 6 straight games, could play every possession as well as they could play it, DePaul could win the national championship. The game doesn't work that way, okay? It never's worked that way. So how do you find a way to play through the rough spots? More importantly, on a bigger picture, how do you take from this game things where you say, well, that's a trend, we've got to put a stop to that, and that's just an anomaly? Perfect examples. If he makes a big deal about free throw shooting, he's foolish. He won't. I know he won't because they practice it. I know they practice it. Any coach that has to come out and justify that afterwards is it's demeaning to the coach. We think it's a secret to practice free throws. They practice free throws. What was he? He was a genius coaching free throws for the first 12 games, and all of a sudden he became an idiot. The other day he had a suggestion. Why don't we try and drop kick the field goals, the free throws today, guys? That'll be fun. They did what they always do. It happens. It's why in a doubleheader in baseball, the first game the team can get two hits and no runs, and the second game gets 17 hits and 12 runs. Same players, same field, same. It happens. It just happens. That is something that's not trendy. What is trending is the hard time they have when people get out after them, really get up into them. Texas Tech did it. Kentucky did it. And they're not suddenly going to have guys who can just go around you. They don't have many of those guys. They just don't. So they're going to have to learn how to do a better job of playing without the basketball. And that's something that I think that they've got to really, really spend some time on. And Jordan has to come to terms with. He really does. I also, Nick, ask your dad why Blakenbaker was whining like a fat kid who didn't get any cake about the fouls when it was 8-2 to start the half. First of all, I will never take a stretch of the game and use that as an example for whether a game was poorly or well officiated. Or, I love when the first 6 minutes, they got 5 fouls and we got 1,000. Well, maybe because they fouled 6 times and the other team only fouled once. That happens at a 7-minute stretch. But what I will tell you is I thought the game was fairly officiated. I thought it was very, very fairly officiated. Somebody's going to send me a video clip of a play where they blatantly missed it. Fine. Did they miss some? I'm sure they did. Did they really miss some? Probably, but they were hustling. They were in position. And for a rivalry game like that, they found it's, and that's when officiating becomes more of an art than a science is how do you find that fine line to allow guys to play, but also call the fouls that need to be called and keep the game under control? That's not an easy thing to do. I mean, there were a bunch of plays where on both teams, I could have seen fouls called, but then it would have turned into a foul fest. And, I'm not sure that would have been what you wanted. And then the thought of, letting some stuff go, if they let more of that stuff go, you'd have had yourself a brawl on your hands. They did a nice job of getting in position, making the calls. Louisville didn't get screwed. Sorry. Kentucky didn't get screwed. Nobody got screwed. They just called the game. And I thought they did a fair, respectable job of that. But I'll tell you, the topic of officiating continues to just spill over from everything. The NFL, the Ohio State people are losing their minds. Although it does strike me as, for all of the technology we put in, we're not getting anything right more. I mean, the Seattle game, I thought the pass interference thing was supposed to be reviewable. It was a blatant pass interference they let go. But I don't have much sympathy for Seattle, by the way. I was going to get into that later. But once again, we had an example of the end of the game taking football coaches by surprise, where they just were, what does that clock mean? Wait a minute, what? Because
that's what time it was.
With the 500 people they have on their staff, they should find one guy whose only job is to make sure that every contingency is covered for the last 3 minutes of the first half and the last 3 minutes of the game. Because if you're Seattle and their argument, and could you imagine? I mean, I might have sprung board them, to make my own word up, to a Super Bowl they got so excited when Marshawn Lynch did the airborne thing for the touchdown earlier. Now they're in the exact same situation again. I mean, just give it to them and let them go airborne again, and they don't have the right personnel to bring out there. So they get a delay of game. Now they're at the 6, and they lose the moment to do that. That guy on the sideline, even the announcers who are busy announcing the game, not even coaching it, pointed out they can get a first down without getting a touchdown. That 501st guy on the staff should be sitting there and have every contingency. All right, make a first down. We don't score. I don't even know how they, but football's got 9 million terms. We got the wazoo package. We need the wazoo package ready to go if we don't score here. And then boom, it gets in there. You run the wazoo package out. You give it to Lynch and you win the game. Instead, they go like, what's happening? I don't know what's going on. What happened here? Can't we keep playing? Why do we have to stop playing? We still have downs. It doesn't make any sense. Just ridiculous. So anyway, so the same thing with officials. When you've got the technology there, it's still not making the game any better. We should just play the damn game. I'm really become that guy now. They're gonna miss some. Let the guys call a damn game and let's just go. because we ain't getting anything righter than we did before. I don't know that this is true. Great text, by the way. It's a legitimate text. I want to respond to it. It says, the trend for this team is when the going gets tough, the texts are coming in so fast, it just dropped down. I can't find it anymore. Anyway, the trend for this team is when the going gets rough, they don't show up. That's not true, and I'll tell you why I say that. Because after the game, in the post-game interview, I was talking with Chris, and even off the air with Dino, and I don't think he'll mind me saying this. I don't think I'm talking, out of school. They said last year's team, when that game got down to double digits, would have just folded up their tents. They would have just felt sorry for themselves and then just gone and let's go home and try and play again. They fought back, and they did it themselves. They went into a timeout, and they basically just screamed. And that's when he took Jordan out of the game, which, by the way, is a tough trend. Do you see that? Sullivan tweeted that out. What were they, minus 18 when Jordan was on the floor and plus 12 when he wasn't? But, again, do what you want with that. Maybe I am putting a bow tie on a pig a little bit, because that's not a good thing. Your best player has got to be part of that comeback. But it also speaks to, if you want to talk about the improvement from last year, that's it. There's no way without him on the floor they would be able to make that comeback, last year's team. So I don't think that's true. I think they could they still be tougher? Of course. But they certainly are showing a lot of grit and charisma grit and strong character, I guess the better word. They are willing to fight through rough times. I don't quite see that. I don't think that's true that just when the going gets tough they disappear. They're like all teams. You make shots, it affects you. That's something they've got to work through. All teams fight that problem of having their shooting affect the rest of their game. But I don't think that's true about this year's team. I think they are willing to get in there and battle. I think you got a Dwayne Sutton, and Malik is the same way. They're willing to get in there and fight. I thought they did that.
This was the tweet from Sully, and Sully will join us at 1:15 today. Sully tweeting that Jordan Ward did not help his player of the year candidacy Saturday against Kentucky. Louisville was outscored by 18 points while its star was on the floor and was 10 points better than UK without him.
Yeah, well, that's what we just talked about.
Yeah, no, I weren't sure exactly what the figures were. That was that. And also, the new AP poll came out about 20 minutes or so.
And
Louisville dropped to 7th, UK now up to 17th. So U of L was 3, they dropped to 7.
Well, Kentucky only went up 2 spots.
Yeah, Kentucky only went up 2 spots from 19. So. I
have to go take a look at that, which we will in a moment.
Indiana, even though they lost to Arkansas, and we have a call from the play-by-play call from a certain someone we might have to play a little later.
Jack's call?
Yeah, we have Jack's call of the dagger there at the end there. Indiana did still receive 5 AP votes, for whatever that's worth. So there you have it.
Okay. God, there's so many more things. I'll tell you what. Let's get a breath. Let's get a beverage. And the texts are coming in. I promise I'll try and respond to as many of them as I can.
437-9680 UPS Jobs text line if you want to send those in.
All right. So let's see. That seems like a ridiculous text. I'll try. When they're ridiculous, I have to respond. You think it's LMAO. We know what that means. Lecture U of L fans about fairly officiated game in one breath and rip into officiating a football in another. All right, let me see if I can clear that up for you. One, I wasn't lecturing the fans. I was giving my observation that I thought it was a fairly officiated game. Didn't lecture anybody. Nobody. Didn't. I responded to a texter who was lecturing Blankenbaker. So your premise to start is ridiculous. So can I LMAMO more laugh mine at you? Because you're not listening to what I said. And the second thing is, football officiating, I was mocking the management of the coaches in the NFL. That's the only thing I was mocking. What I was saying about officiating is technology's not making it any better. I don't see it improving at all. Every weekend we come in and people are more angry than they've ever been, and we keep adding more technology. That was the point I was making. So except for the fact that your sentence did not address anything I said, that's a hell of a text. It really is, I got to tell you. That's well played. I mean, to an imaginary sentence in your head, you beat the crap out of that guy. But what I was saying, not relevant. We'll come back. ESPN Radio.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
What time is Mr. Sullivani coming on?
He is at 1:15.
Okay, so we've got a little time before we are done with our simulcast here on 93.9. So I'll try and get through as many of these as I can. Bob is a fan. I think most of us that are rational know that sometimes things like free throw shooting and bad shooting nights happen. I think frustration is they can never have their best game against Kentucky, always the dud. UK does the opposite, duds against the other teams. Well, they haven't played their best against Kentucky, but Kentucky's been better than they have for a few years now. That's what I think is making this doubly frustrating, which somebody has probably addressed, but I haven't seen any texts about it, is because this has always been the script in reverse, that Louisville would beat the snot out of them in football, and then they would come in, they could win in basketball, and both teams could go away and have their smack-talking at least a leg to stand on. The football game was ugly, and then the L's down thing pissed all the Louisville people off, and so this is their chance to go make a statement, and then they go lose it, and the frustration spills over. That's a part of it. There's no question you can't take these games in a vacuum. You have to put them in a greater context. So, listen, like I told you, you want to be frustrated, be frustrated. You want to be happy, be happy. You want to be, your emotions are your emotions. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to do my job as an analyst. That's all I'm trying to do, which is trying to break down things that went on during the game and tell you what I think is really more significant than things that are less significant. And what you do with that information, obviously, is your own business. You want to be mad about it or frustrated about it or whatever you want, you can do what you want. I'll tell you what I think is a very under-discussed play that when it happened really, really bothered me, because these are the kinds of things that go through your head. When you're in overtime, the first thing you want to do, it's like the first step to get a victory, is to try to get the lead with the ball. That's what you want. You want to have the lead and the ball. And I've said it's amazing. I really wish I had the time and resources to do what some of these guys who make a living just doing metrics do. But there's so many things going through my head here. I'll try and narrow it down some. The first team to score in overtime, it seems like every time I do a game on radio or TV, the team that scores first in overtime loses. I don't know why that is. But it's like, so Louisville scored first. I wouldn't dare say that on the air, but there's a part of me that went, uh-oh. But this was unusual, because if you remember, they scored a three-point play. That doesn't happen much. They got a three-point play. And so now I said to myself, well, that brings in the other adage. What are you trying to do in overtime? You're trying to get the lead and the ball. And who are you playing? A team that no matter how they made a few, they're not a good three-point shooting team, and they missed some ugly ones. I got to like my chances that I'm not going to give up a three here. If they score, we're going to have the ball with a one-point lead. We'll get to step one in the ladder. We will have the ball and the lead in overtime. And instead, freaking Malik fouls the guy under the basket on the layup, the old school three-point play. Once they got it in there, my thought was, all right, they got it, they scored, boom. And you can say, well, that seems very early to do that. You're still at like 4 minutes to go. I'm telling you, your mindset in overtime, that's the way you play it. It's a possession game on steroids. And at that point, the only thing going through your head is, let's get the ball back or foul him so hard that he has to make the two free throws and you still can get the ball and the lead. Instead, he ticky-tack fouls him and boom, in it goes and they wind up in a tie game. And I was like, oh, man, that one hardly was discussed much. Except it's funny, the coaches all think alike because right after the game, I think it was Dino said that to me. Oh, why would we give him an old school three-point play there? You know, that's exactly what coaches are thinking of. A guy texts me and says, oh, by the way, Bob, I'll challenge you regarding who's the president of the Sutton Fan Club. I'll fight you for that. I've got my button to prove it. My Sutton button. I like that. But, no, the best. Absolutely the best. They're just on, not specifically about the game. Disagree that video hasn't improved officiating. Fumbles, catch. Well, I'll tell you, maybe. I think it's kind of, for every one they've made better, there have been plays that are they're making people more angry because they think that they, like, how did they not review the pass interference yesterday? They don't even understand the rules. Maybe I don't. In Malik's defense, Richard shoved him under the basket to get the rebound? Maybe. I never would dispute any of that. That's part of the game. That's how the game goes. When you do yeah buts is when you lose. Why'd you foul him? Yeah, but he pushed me under the basket. All right, well, did the referee call it? No. Then you got to deal with the reality, which was there's no foul called there. So now deal with the reality. And the reality is he's got it 2 feet from the basket. Let him score. Let's get the ball. Should you have been allowed to be pushed? No, if you were pushed. But the yeah, but he pushed me. Okay, well, now you've wiped out our whole three-point play per possession. Let's see. Last week, I texted my opinion about two areas concerned. Basically, the Cards go as Wara goes. Well, that's not really true, though, because you saw in this game they were plus 12 without him. What was it? You sort of read the numbers. Plus 12 without him, minus 18 with him.
Plus 10.
Plus 10 without him.
Yeah.
So, and with the exception of Kimball's game on Saturday, we're not getting much from the freshman. Well, A, he's not a freshman, and B, he's been a very good player in a number of games. But the freshmen are not giving you much right now, and that doesn't mean they won't before the year's out. But if you want your best chance to win, you got to play the people that Chris played Saturday. That's the reality. Saw people on Twitter wanting to discontinue the series. That makes me nauseous. No, I agree. I shouldn't say nobody. Obviously, if you see people on Twitter who don't want to play anymore, then obviously you're seeing some people. But I think that's foolish. You can control your reaction to the game. You can't control anybody else's. And I try to remind myself when some of it spills over from the asshat pile into the rational pile that, that's just part of life. That's the way it is in anything, and you shouldn't let them ruin it for right behind me, sitting right behind me. I've got two Hall of Fame guys. I got Joe B. Hall and Denny Crum, and, both are as nice and great gentlemen as possible, and it's what a wonderful basketball. If you love basketball, it's like I've said, when I took the Bellarmine job, I said it, and nothing that I've lived here in 25 years has changed my mind, that if you are in the fashion industry, at some point you should probably go live in Paris. If you want to be a stage actor, at some point you should probably go to New York and try and get on Broadway. But if you want to be involved in college basketball, there's very few parts of the country that are like this part of the country. And because not only for Louisville and Kentucky, which is spectacular, but right up the road's Indiana, and Western's got a great history, and there are some spectacular non-Division I programs here. Bellarmine, which will be Division I soon, but their great run, and Georgetown College, and I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So it's a great place for basketball, and I prefer to celebrate. Well, and here's the other thing. And this is, if you're a UK fan, don't get mad. Do whatever you want. Get mad. The reality is this. Overtime games, what ultimately decides overtime games, the single factor, the single biggest factor in an overtime game, luck. If it weren't luck, the team that was the decided favorite would win most of the overtime games, and they don't. They don't. I mean, it's the reality. A game's a tie. It could go either way. You know, a shot that bounces around the rim, that goes the right way, the wrong way, there's luck that gets involved in it. That's the reality. So a texter says, who cares? Louisville's a baseball school. That's a good one. I already read the Sutton one. Do you think any Louisville players' minutes will change based on the UK game? Defense looked better with Fresh and Perry at guards. I thought the best combination of guards was Fresh and Perry. I agree with you. But I think there's two things at work here. One, I think that it's going to depend on the matchup of the game, because the fact of the matter is, if you're playing a team that the scouting report is not, they're going to come and overplay everybody hard on the wing. They're not going to extend like Kentucky did. You're going to need Ryan shooting at some point. You know, and he's by far the best of the shooters there. Again, not with, how can you say that based on Saturday? Well, it was one game. It's one, took, what did he take, six shots? I don't even remember how many shots he took. So you're going to base it on six shots. I think you remember in the preseason, remember the preseason game? He shot horribly, and everybody was like, oh my God. And then Chris said after the game, well, one of the very few things that I don't worry about at all is Chris's Ryan shooting. And the next game he came out and made like four threes or whatever it was. I mean, it's just, it's the reality of the situation. But I think that there's a couple of nice things that happen when you play Fresh and Perry together. Perry is the guy who can go by people more than anybody. And if you do that, it's hard for him sometimes. It's hard. When you're the lead guard, to put pressure on the ball defensively. Now, they don't really pressure like Rick used to, but you're the guy that's got the primary defensive responsibility in the backcourt, and you got to trigger the offense, and you got to get your teammates involved, and they need you to score a little bit. It's hard. If you can get moved to the off guard every once in a while, it's not like you rest, but your mind gets a little break. And you could still utilize his skills and then let Fresh run the thing. I like that combination. I do. So I thought that was I think that was probably the best combination of the four guards there. I did like that. We are victims of low expectations at the guard spot. I don't think that that's necessarily true. In fact, I don't think that's true at all. I think that your team is made up of you know, where or the component parts. In other words, what they're asked to do is not the same as they're asking, you know, Jordan to do or the centers to do or anything like that. But I don't think it's low expectations at all. I think they have to play at a very high level. They may not necessarily be stat stuffers like some of the other guys. They don't play an overplaying defense, so they're not going to get a lot of steals. But if their assist-to-turnover ratio is like it was early in the year, they had some games where the assist-to-turnover ratio was like 8-1, 9-1. You know, that's fine. And I know, you know, and again, you know, Maxey is the best player on Kentucky right now. I'm sorry. He just is. So, yeah, they expect more out of that, their guards, than Louisville's guards, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But that's because that's where their strength is. Louisville's got, you know, a Jordan Wara that has consistently been a terrific player this year. So they expect more from that spot. But it's a little oversimplification, I think. I like Ryan, but he can't be on the floor if he's not making shots. He's still a mismatch against quality guards. You know, there is – that used to be the knock on him. That's from Will. But, Will, I will tell you this. I think they've worked hard to get away from that, and he's worked hard on that. He's been a guy that has not just been one-dimensional of shooting the ball. He's been able to get in the lane and make some things happen. He's a better defender, but he was – maybe it was just he was overmatched Saturday. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, dismiss – that part of it, the mismatch part of it. But I think he was another guy that when he missed some shots early, he tried to overdo things, and that's not the way he can play the game. He got in a lane, he got up in the air, he took a off-balance shot. You know, but part of that again stems from everybody and their brother calls and says ball movement, ball movement, ball movement, but you can't have good ball movement until you have good player movement. And they were not moving without the ball as well as they needed to. I was disappointed the shot Ryan took on our, in parentheses, final possession. What are your thoughts? That's a set play they run. What were they trying to accomplish? I've seen them. They run that in practice. They ran it earlier in the year. They scored on it. It's a play Chris has. It drives the defense back, and you throw it behind him to your best three-point shooter. And the fact is, he's the best three-point shooter. Could you run it with Jordan? I guess, maybe. But, I mean, that's I can't be a hypocrite here. I tell you, choking is when you go away from what you've worked on because you don't think that you've got the ability. You're not trusting your stuff. You know, well, this is what we work on, but now for this game, we're going to have to kind of make some stuff up on the fly. It's a fine line. You obviously do have to adjust to certain things as the game goes on, but that's a choke when you don't go to what you normally work on because you don't trust it. That's what they work on. That's their play. So and they've scored on it. So the fact what made it disappointing was he had been shooting poorly, and so you go into a guy with a cold hand. But where were you going to go then? There was nobody that was really shooting well. At one point in the game, and Mac said he asked Dino to get him the sheet of everybody's free throw makes in practice, and he was happy because most were above 90%. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I've been in that situation. I got into it with a reporter once, one of my first jobs, which was stupid. But because the same thing, it was like we had a bad day shooting free throws, and the reporter just said, you know, it wasn't with the reporter. The reporter was sitting with me. Somebody from our own school came over and said, well, I bet you're going to practice free throws Monday or something. And I'm thinking, the guy's going to think we don't practice free throws. You know, you're trying to get 2 inches in the newspaper. We finally got a guy to come to our game. And now I can see the article coming out. Even Joe Jablonski, the head scorekeeper at Kutztown University, said, boy, we need to work on free throws Monday. They work on them. They chart every free throw, and they were shooting them well. It was one of those nights. Don't waste your breath on that. It's a good free throw shooting team that just maybe the moment overwhelmed them a little bit, you know? If they're human beings, I'm just telling the truth. It was it's a very highly charged emotional atmosphere, and that you can't dismiss that. So it's very unlike anything you see in the NCAA tournament, because the NCAA tournament, they're on neutral sites, and three quarters of the arena is not rooting for your team. The arena, there's four teams in the doubleheader, so you only have a quarter of the fans. Then the other quarter is the other team, but it's still not very loud because the half the arena doesn't care. They're there to see the other game. So it's a very different atmosphere, extremely different atmosphere. All right, we'll take a break. Those of you on 93.9 The Ville, stay tuned for Mark Ennis. His pregame show, his Coors Light pregame show gets underway. We're back on ESPN 680 105.7, and we appreciate you being with us here on this Bowl Game Monday on ESPN Radio.